Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge. In this episode, we're talking about cloud brokering and how agencies can serve as service providers. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guests today are Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Welcome, Doug and Anil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So our conversation continues about the journey to the cloud, but this is a bit of a detour. We're going to, instead of talking about benefits and cost savings and application rationalization, we're going to talk about the important decision agencies will need to make should they buy or sell cloud services. So first, let me start a little context for our discussion. The General Services Administration and the Defense Information Systems Agency both are exploring what a cloud broker is and how contracts would work offering their services. Later, we'll get into that deeper discussion of what a cloud broker is and how it could work. But for now, think of it similar to an insurance broker or a car broker. GSA and DISA are both trying to get a handle of what a broker concept means to industry. Both have issued separate requests for information this summer. GSA so far has received more than 70 responses covering more than 1,700 pages. Now, Mark Day, who's leading GSA's efforts around cloud computing acquisition, says GSA has not decided how it will move forward with that acquisition strategy. He said, hey, some of the contracts that they currently have may work just as fine. For example, Day says agencies spent more than $276 million on cloud services through their Alliant multiple award contract in 2012. That's up from $12 million in 2011. More and more agencies are turning to the Alliant contract because they need the integration services as opposed to just buying cloud storage or email services. Day says that's most evident when you take into account the infrastructure as a service contract only received $58 million in business in 2012. Remember, that's compared to the $276 million that was on Alliant. The Defense Department also laid out their cloud strategy in July, and it gave DISA the lead role to provide enterprise-wide cloud services and serve as the cloud broker. The director of DISA, Lieutenant General Ronnie Hawkins, said the brokerage service will reach initial operating capability by the end of this year, meaning 2012, and full operating capability by early 2015. The National Institute of Technology and Standards also included the concept of a cloud broker in its September 2011 cloud reference architecture. Now, in that document, NIST wrote that a cloud broker, quote, acts as the intermediate between consumer and provider and will help consumers through the complexity of cloud service offerings and may also create value-added cloud services as well. The broker concept will provide three main services, according to NIST: service intermediation, service aggregation, and service arbitrage. We're going to post the link to that reference architecture on VMware's Federal IT Challenge site on federalnewsradio.com. So today, we're going to dive into what a cloud broker is, how it could work, what benefits it could bring. Once again, my guests are Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. So gentlemen, Doug, let's start. What is a cloud broker?
One heck of an introduction, Jason, but I'm going to come back to one word that you used, and that was detour. And I would say, no, a cloud broker is not a detour on the journey to cloud. It is yet another stop, just another stop on the journey, progressing, you know, and continuing to mature the concept, the operations, the architecture.
I was just going to say, Doug, a detour is meaning like, you know, you're stopping off for like some French fries. You got to make a detour sometimes on your journey. Get
so
some fries.
Like a resource refreshment stop, huh? Okay. Well, in a way, maybe we can look at it that way. I mean, you nailed it. You included the fact that, you know, NIST does have a definition, and a broker is clearly an emerging concept. So what that means is that while the definition has been set by NIST, that its understanding and more specifically the operationalization of that concept is likely to change because it's so new and it's an emerging concept. But in a nutshell, a broker is an intermediary between cloud service providers and cloud consumers. And the concept, the idea is that it would be more efficient to have a broker rather than building point-to-point technical interfaces, contracts, service-level agreements, performance management, business relationships, rather than do that point-to-point between every cloud consumer and every cloud service provider, that it would be more efficient to have some middle layer to do that on behalf of the agencies and the service providers, respectively. So it's the concept is this more efficient model.
Is this the same kind of way that you think about how technology's always been addressed with that systems integrator? When I was at the GSA RFI industry day, when they talked about cloud brokerage, they really compared it to the systems integrator role. That's how they fit into the cloud model. Do you see it that same way?
I'm sure we'll get into this as we delve deeper into the concepts relative to cloud brokering. But on the one hand, cloud brokering does seem to be a natural fit for integrators. But on the other hand, there are some specific issues and challenges that arise that perhaps lend themselves to the integrator not being the most incentivized or the most likely candidates for this kind of an approach. So it's an interesting concept, and I guess we've yet to see. This is one of the reasons why there were so many responses, I think, to the RFI from GSA. You referred to the number of responses, 77, I think, in several thousand pages. But I think the point is that there are some issues that need to be overcome.
So let me pop over to Anil from the National Nuclear Security Administration. Are federal agencies ready for cloud brokerage?
In terms of cloud brokerage, I think there are different levels of maturity within the federal government for consumption of those services. So really, I think each agency is on its own respective journey to the cloud, and they have to determine what that journey looks like to them. You know, from our perspective, that is the model that we are employing within our own agency of indeed implementing our own cloud broker that we developed on our own brokering on-premise commercial cloud offerings and commercial cloud service providers through a single control plane.
Now, this is a concept that I think the Department of Energy is doing, kind of a cloud of clouds.
Yes, that's exactly right. It is a cloud of clouds approach.
Your guys are the broker. Are you going back to someone inside the Energy Department saying, okay, you're going to provide this type of cloud service and we'll provide a different type?
In this particular concept, really to build out the cloud of clouds approach, it's not the Lord of the Rings, one ring to rule them all kind of approach, because that model is inherently flawed and is designed to fail. It really is around the model of respecting each individual organization's workloads and allowing them to manage and maintain their own workloads within their own respective enclaves, whether they exist on-premise or in a commercial cloud service provider, but providing them greater visibility and manageability through a single control plane via the cloud broker.
Doug, is this something you're starting to see kind of with your clients as well through VMware? Are they taking which approach?
Definitely, we're seeing an interest across the public sector at all levels. And one thing to point out is kind of an open question about the model, which is, I think Anil used the term as, you know, one ring, you know, to rule all the others. And I think that just by virtue of the nature of cloud computing, we have the cloud model has, you know, as we've all learned through the last few years, private clouds, public clouds, hybrid clouds, which connect those together, and then a particular type of hybrid cloud called a community cloud. So I think the natural progression for something like a broker is going to be within the community, as well as more generic or more general hybrid cloud type. So my point of saying that is we all realize that based on a mission affinity, whether that mission affinity is national security or energy management or public safety, it doesn't matter. There's an affinity for these cloud components, multiple disparate cloud components to be connected together. This is going to lend itself to a multi-cloud model, and the multi-cloud brokering model is likely to have brokers connected to brokers over the long haul. The reason I go into this is because GSA, in their intent, if not that clear in the RFI, certainly clear in conversations that I've had with the management team there, is they intend for one cloud broker across the federal government. And I think that's going to, just by nature of the ecosystem and how it's going to evolve, is not the most likely cloud brokering model.
All right, we're going to delve into that. But first, we've got to take a break. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I'm speaking today with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Today's topic is, what should agencies keep in mind when deciding if they're ready to be a buyer or a seller for cloud brokerage services?
Did you know more than 80,000 people in our area have lupus? Join the Lupus Foundation of America, D.C., Maryland, Virginia chapter on Saturday, December 8th to celebrate its services throughout the tri-state area for patients living with lupus. A gala luncheon and exciting live and silent auction at the Park Hyatt Washington will support free services for people with lupus, a life-threatening disease with no known cure. For tickets, call 1-888-787-5380 or visit lupusdmv.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Today's topic is, what should agencies keep in mind when they're deciding about buying we're selling cloud brokered services. Doug, I got to start with you. You made the comment right before we went to break about kind of the path that GSA is at least looking at, whether they're heading down there or not, who knows. But the idea of a single cloud broker for government, what are the challenges that you see in that?
Well, let me first issue my disclaimer. You know, I can't speak on behalf of GSA. I can only interpret what I heard in the questions that I had asked and the feedback I had received. My impression was that GSA is clearly leaning towards a single cloud brokering model for the federal government. And on the one hand, from a pure efficiency standpoint, that makes total sense when you think about the fact that in a cloud brokering model, there's likely to be numerous private clouds, entities, organizations, if you will, operating units, whatever. They're going to want to plug into that. And they're going to have a choice. They're going to want to make the choice as to whether they're just a consumer or whether also they're also going to contribute excess capacity to the cloud model through the brokering architecture. In addition, there's going to be service provider clouds connected in, and those are going to have multiple models, as we're all aware. And many of those are integrators in terms of the nature of the services that they provide. And then there's going to be public cloud providers. The likely names there we're all familiar with are likely going to plug in as well. And then numerous agencies, right, are going to have to plug in. So the point here is that when you look at the, from a pure technical standpoint, the number of interfaces required as each one plugs in, the management plane needs to be constructed across that to unify it, to ensure not just operations, single point management, but also security policies are adhered to, compliance, and so on and so forth. But then you look at the contractual nature. Each one of those, as they plug in, there's going to be a contractual relationship. And as a result of that, there's going to be service levels that need to be defined. And there's other management constructs that need to be put into place. The point is, that's a lot of effort. That's a lot of staff time, that's a lot of legalese, that's a lot of negotiating, and so on and so forth. So the ideal efficient model would be simply do it once for anybody who plugs in. On the other hand, we also just have law of economics and competition, which says for something like this, since there is a fairly substantial cost to implement this type of a model, that some number, I'll call it an oligopoly type of an approach, might be best, like the automobile industry, where you have 3 to 5 or 5 to 7, some small number of competitors that by virtue of being in the game and compete against each other, they compete on features and functions, and they might find special characteristics to meet certain parts of the market. That is most likely to be the best overall. So the question is, you know, whether we're going to look at it from a theoretical standpoint and say what's going to be most efficient, or if we look at it from a competitive standpoint and say what's likely to be most efficient. But I did hear GSA, in fact, specifically say their thought would be one company as the cloud broker. And I just don't see how that is in the best interest of the government and taxpayers in general.
Now, very interesting. Now, Neil, you maybe take a different tact.
From the standpoint of cloud brokerage, in the sense that a single company managing that relationship, I tend to agree that, you know, it's not so much about a company managing the relationship between a cloud consumer and a cloud provider. You want to be able to build a marketplace that allows for open competition, that allows for the right people to connect to the right providers. So with that said, let's take cloud brokerage and break it down into its fundamental parts, in the sense that cloud brokerage really is two discrete components. You've got a technical component that really manages the technical relationship between the cloud consumer and the cloud provider, managing all the technical aspects of creating and managing and consuming that resource. Then you have the business relationship in regards to the contractual components that Doug alluded to that need to be managed and maintained within a cloud broker model. So from that perspective, having a modular architecture to where the right companies, plural, can leverage this capability and be able to provide value-added features and services, both either on the technical or business side, through a single broker, adds a lot of value.
Doug, let me switch back to you. One of the things that we talked about a little bit was, what is a cloud brokerage? Let's talk about the pieces, the parts that really make it up, because NIST has their definition, but I'm not really sure what a service arbitrage is.
Well, service arbitrage, quite frankly, is a marketplace model, right? Is gathering and recognizing where there's excess capacity, in this case, and mapping that and matching it to demand on a real-time basis. And it's basically arbitrage is having a real-time understanding and status of both the capacity and the offered price at that point in time, and mapping it to the consumer who has a demand at that point in time and is willing to pay a certain price, and doing that in a very automated fashion. And I think in some ways that's probably what Anil might have been alluding to when he talked about the government-built capabilities of this cloud that Department of Energy and NSA has constructed, is that this arbitrage capability is a very mature feature, but also a potentially extremely useful feature to keep up with the ongoing, very dynamic, you know, real-time changing nature of cloud computing in the environment in general.
Anil, from your standpoint, when you guys are putting together the cloud of clouds, the cloud brokerage model, what were some of the key pieces that you guys kept in mind as it came together?
So from our perspective, key design criteria around building this cloud of cloud model, something that we call your cloud, are around respecting site autonomy in the sense that each individual organization within our facilities are really built around their own workloads. They have workloads that they manage, that they maintain, that they own. So with our your cloud model, you log into your cloud, you're presented with enclaves that can house your workloads. You have the ability to instantiate those workloads, move those workloads into this environment that are wholly owned and managed by you, the requester of the resource. So from that perspective, it's no different than if you would have gone in and physically racked and stacked that server, installed an operating system, and handed it over to that person. You're simply providing that through a single control plane, whether it's on-premise or in a commercial cloud service provider. So from that perspective, that was one of our fundamental tenets moving forward in building out this cloud brokerage concept of giving the user full control, but giving them access to a wider range of resources.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can go back into those details of how a cloud brokerage service works. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Today's topic is what should agencies keep in mind when they're deciding about buying or selling cloud brokerage services?
If a major disaster hits your town, everyone is a target. Nobody knows when peril will approach. But what the Searchdog Foundation does know is that disasters will happen. It's only a matter of time. Is there anything more basic than wanting to be rescued when you're in need? Be part of the search when you support the Searchdog Foundation. Please consider Searchdog Foundation for your CFC giving. Number 11654. That's 11654. Because the search always starts with you.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Today's topic is what should agencies keep in mind when they're deciding about buying or selling cloud brokered services. Now, Doug, when we kind of left off, we're kind of getting an insight into how the NNSA is kind of dealing with their cloud brokered services. So the question that kind of comes to mind is whether or not cloud brokerage services, the development of the cloud brokerage service, is inherently governmental. It's a big word, but basically can only be done by government.
And that's a really good point, and it's an open question, and I think it's being debated and considered right now by GSA, is whether or not the cloud brokering concept is an inherently governmental function, and maybe whether a portion of it more appropriately would be. And I think that the NNSA model is a great example of government partnering with government and government partnering with the private sector and vendor community to create this capability. I think that's ultimately what's going to be required. As Anil pointed out, there's a technical component and a business component. My question is on the business component. Managing contracts on behalf of other federal agencies, I think the government is in best position to put in place those contracts, manage those contracts, and manage the performance of the vendors from that standpoint. So I think this question of inherently governmental with respect to brokering is a real question with respect to the business side of the relationships.
Anil, there are certain things that you, when you guys were setting this up, that you said we have to do this piece of it.
From our perspective, from a technical brokerage point of view, there are things that we inherently know the security requirements of the workloads that we're entrusted to protect. So from a technical brokerage point of view, there are things that we inherently had to do because we knew our workloads, we knew the security posture that we needed to employ to protect the same. And by partnering with industry, we were able to leverage capabilities that industry had that we could plug in as modules into our broker to solve some of these fundamental challenges.
And let me follow up with Neil. What does it take to build one? And then what are some of the potholes or challenges that people, as their other agencies, as they're putting one together, they need to avoid or at least keep in mind?
Cloud brokerage, if you haven't really embraced cloud services in one way, shape, or form today, is not for the faint of heart. It is something that is part of your journey. So when you think about your journey to the cloud, you have to take that first step of understanding what virtualization is and what virtualization means to you. Once you've really done that, the next step is, what's cloud and what does cloud mean to you? And from that perspective, once you've made those steps on that journey to from virtualization to cloud, and you've built in that maturity model, which is going to be different for each agency and organization, then you can take that next step of cloud brokerage, where you can now leverage the community of interest that you have across your agency, leverage the capabilities across your agency, and leverage a common control plane that is, in this case, built by the government, for the government, leveraging great technology that industry has, leveraging innovation that government has, putting the two pieces together and helping us redefine IT as innovation together.
Doug, from your perspective, and what does it take to set up that cloud brokerage model? And what are some of the biggest potholes you're seeing, maybe some clients that are close to stepping in?
As Anil pointed out, there's kind of a whole series of potential potholes. But I think some of the more prevalent and challenging ones, first and foremost, is the interfaces themselves. I think that, you know, as we're talking about a very disparate cloud ecosystem being connected through a broker, as you might imagine, a public cloud, numerous private clouds, and even other, you know, virtual private service provider clouds all being connected together, the calls from the management plane to carry out the services at the infrastructure layer, even, you know, simple services like provisioning a virtual machine, you know, might not all be standardized through open API kind of a structure. And in fact, the calls themselves are going to be most likely different across that broad ecosystem. And so the management plane needs to take that into consideration. And that requires, you know, customization, some coding, and so on and so forth. To the extent to which there are cloud standards that are evolving, that is helping with that process. But that is at this level, standardization is a long, long way off. So there's a lot of work to be done to actually build the brokering capability itself. And then secondly, I would point out the issue of data. You know, it's all about the data. It's always been about the data. The security requirements associated with the data need to flow with the data across these cloud interfaces. The ownership rights from a contractual standpoint, and even the privacy requirements associated with that, and complying with all of those data requirements across this cloud ecosystem is certainly not an easy challenge, either technically or contractually, and enforcing that. And so that is a different layer of challenge that needs to evolve and mature as the brokering concept comes into fruition.
All right, sounds like we could continue this conversation, but unfortunately we are out of time. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I was speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware U.S. Public Sector, and Anil Carmel, the National Nuclear Security Administration's Deputy Chief Technology Officer. Today's topic was, what should agencies keep in mind as they're deciding about buying or selling cloud brokerage services? Join us next time when we discuss crowdsourcing in the cloud. And as always, you can hear the show in its entirety and learn more about virtualization can help your agency by going to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.